So good morning, everyone. Can you hear me? Does that work okay? Right. So I'm going to start off by just acknowledging the previous speakers, Joe Lauer and Peter, for some of the challenges and issues they raised in their presentation about how to develop variable weight prescriptions. The whole thing about the use of the amount of temporal variability that we get in the interaction with spatial variability, that's really the difficult challenge that we're all trying we're up against in terms of building a prescription. I mean, we can build prescriptions, but do they provide value to growers? And so that's kind of against that backdrop what I want to talk to you about here for the next few minutes, about some of the things that we're thinking about at Pioneer in terms of factors that we think are going to be important in building a scalable solution for growers. As Joe alluded to, there's a lot of information sometimes to procure, to build, to describe spatial variability and things like that. And so anyway, it's all about being scalable when you're working with organizations that have a lot of customers. And so that's kind of the challenges we're up against. And one of the things I also wanted to visit about a little bit, also acknowledges our co-authors on this presentation, Noel Kitchen, Brent Myers, and several of the folks from the University of Missouri, because one of the things we've talked long and hard about is the organizations like Pioneer don't have all the expertise to solve all the problems. So we have to go out and look for expertise in soil science and things like that that can help us build the tools that we need to deliver, again, these scalable solutions. So anyway, we'll proceed then with the presentation. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the outline. And as Joe talked about, there's a lot of growers out there. A lot of our customers have big planters with all those gadgets and tools, and they want to use those tools to vary a lot of different inputs. And we've got the equipment, and I think it was said that we just don't have the agronomy behind it. So Pioneer is currently delivering about 1.8 million prescriptions per year to growers. A lot of those prescriptions are developed by our sales reps right now. I should talk a little bit. I didn't mention earlier, but I don't know how many folks have heard about the In-Circa services. It's a decision support service. A couple of my colleagues mentioned that earlier. So that's going to be delivered through that sort of outlet, that decision support system outlet. And so they'll be there helping provide some guidance around this area. So the other thing, what we want to talk about a little bit is the critical factors that we believe are important for developing variable weight prescriptions. And that's our plant population research. Pioneer's done a lot of work around population research over the years. There's been a lot of publications. Don Duvick, a lot of people in this room have been involved in some of that kind of seminal type research around population. So we still think that's important. And products come out every year, so you got to keep characterize the products. And then the other thing is this geospatial tools that we need to have that store things like soil properties, yield maps, and things like that, that we can use that in combination with our genetics and plant population research to implement the prescriptions, if you will. And so then I'm going to quickly talk a little bit about the challenges. I think the previous speakers did a great job on that, so I won't spend much time on there. And then we'll kind of wrap up by talking about some of the research that we're trying to look at, and it's, again, through the help of our colleagues at the University of Missouri, USDA, that we'll sort of end on that note, kind of talking about what we're trying to do there, again, to build a scalable solution for how to characterize field variation. So that's the overview. I'm going to quickly just show you some of the slides. I got this from some of our folks in agronomy sciences. There's a lot of people we didn't get on that slide up there, names behind a lot of this research, statisticians that build population response curves, a whole bunch of folks there. But maybe the most important thing to bring to your attention is these numerous plots that get placed out in the field. And on the left is a picture of the small plots that we have in place. A lot of those are on-farm trials, or not on on-farm trials, but on research locations. Sometimes we work with university collaborators. And so, again, it's all about collaboration, working with growers. And then on the right, you can see for sure there's a lot of collaboration involved here. When you see that map on the right, that's on-farm trials, and oftentimes we'll have a protocol that's shown down there kind of in the lower right corner. So we can start to collect information on the response of hybrids, populations across landscape variability. There's a lot of data there, and we'd probably be the first to say that we got maybe more data than we have things analyzed. But nonetheless, there's data here, and hopefully I can show you in a little bit how some of this on-farm data can help us get insights to get to our customers. So a couple of quick key learning slides from that plant population data. Maybe I'll back up this one here. So just to reemphasize, a lot of data points that can go into a lot of these population curves, because Joe, you talked a lot about the noise and the plateau around the curve, and so maybe we can overwhelm the noise by just beating on it with sheer numbers is maybe the point to make about that. You can come up with a lot tighter, smaller confidence intervals and things like that when you have a lot of data points. So anyway, that was what point I wanted to make with that slide. And then this slide here kind of builds on, I think, something that Joe said on the left there, that plant population curve. Those three curves are broken down by year, four-year increments. And what that shows is that over the course, those are for the top five hybrids in those trials, and all those trials grouped by years. And you can see that optimum plant population, and this is agronomic optimum now, has been just going up steadily. And that's sort of in line with what Don Duvick showed in those error studies. So that trend keeps on chugging along. Now, how far down the road is that going to go? You know, some people talk about narrow row corn, 55, 80,000 plants per acre. Where will we end on that? But we've got to continue to do the research to validate that hybrid life cycles are somewhat short. So you just have to keep pushing hybrids through the system and evaluating them in as many environments as you can to look at their responses. And then on the right, the other slide there, what we're trying to show you there is that economic optimum yield level or populations are definitely a function of productivity level of the field, right? So that's why these curves are broken down by aggregated into chunks of yield levels. And you can see that as you get higher yielding situations, much like what Joe showed, you get higher economic optimum values. But it takes some pretty big differences between yield to see differences that are meaningful and significant. In other words, to warrant the change in the population. So if you go back here and look at this slide, you can see you might have to make a 50 bushel yield change to really get warrant a change in optimum population. So anyway, those are just a couple of things I wanted to draw to your attention. The other thing is, in that database, I took this right off the pioneer.com plant population calculator, and it simply shows the hybrid by environment, by management effect here. So you can see some of the hybrids would respond to higher population, some wouldn't. So again, having that information in your system, in your database, is going to be critical for you to write a really good prescription. Because you might be making the wrong one if you sort of use a generic response function for all the hybrids. Okay, so now Joe showed this slide earlier. It's basically we're talking about the MapShots GIS software tool that we have that Ted Macy's developed for us. That's the kind of geographical information, but inside that is now a lot of information around the soils as planted maps. And so you've got the ability to take all these different data layers together and then create a prescription based on what you think are some meaningful pieces of information. And I mentioned earlier, again, we don't want to just spit that prescription out to a customer and say, go put it in the cab and start planting. There's a lot of value to having somebody there to kind of walk through the prescription and talk about, well, does this make sense to you, and so on and so forth. So that's part of what we're trying to go for. So again, a little bit about some of the challenges. I just pulled up this presentation here and some of the conclusion bullets from this paper. There's several folks in this room that were involved in this work. It sort of talks, there's a couple things to talk about here. This was 20 years ago that a lot of this research is done, and we're still sort of beaten on these questions here, and it sort of speaks to the fact that some of the value in variable rate seeding is sometimes maybe nominal in some fields. In this particular study, the conclusions were that it was about $12 per acre, or per hectare, when you have full information. And I think what the authors were implying there, when I have managed yield maps for the field, when I have weather information. So in a situation where you have almost all the information you can get to make that prescription, then there's maybe that kind of value. But if you don't have that kind of information, then the value may not be so high, simply because you can't predict where you should be placing the hybrid populations and changing them and so on and so forth. So again, sort of the point of this slide is to kind of bring home the fact that it's a challenge to build a good variable rate prescription that provides value to growers, and it takes information, and getting that information costs money. So people talk about satellite imagery, they talk about Varis maps, a whole bunch of different maps. All those things require dollars. They take somebody's time to go out there to characterize that spatial variability. So we're trying to identify simplest and cheapest tools that we can to characterize that landscape variability in some of the research we'll be talking about here. How do we address these challenges? And we think, a lot of people are thinking this lines, it's having these geospatial databases that involve environment, and several of the colleagues that were here earlier talked about weather information, so having a high-density weather network system that the grower can plug into, that performance information that I talked to you about, characterizing hybrid responses across environments and yield levels and so on and so forth, and then that landscape piece. That's how you kind of characterize the field variation so you know where to change population up or down, so to speak. So that's kind of what we envision, is having a database system that, and then you've got the analytical engine behind that that can bring all that information together to write the prescription. So what could that be? And one of the things we've been thinking a lot about, long and hard, is probably as cheap to acquire as anything, and that's topography. I think we all know that topography does a lot of things. It can be a pretty good surrogate for characterizing field variation, because as we all know, water doesn't go uphill, and water drives a lot of the yield productivity factors that affect corn yield levels. So if we can use that, that's maybe as cheap a piece of information as we can acquire. There's GPS receivers on a lot of machines now, field operations, there's LIDAR information, and a lot of that kind of information can be acquired relatively inexpensively and could perhaps serve as a surrogate for driving that variable rate or variable seeding prescription. I guess you could say irrigation too for a lot of things. So anyway, so what we've undertaken then to kind of get into the collaborative relationship is an effort to kind of remap surgical soils, because you saw earlier surgical soils have a lot of valuable information, but they've got some problems probably. And so what our colleagues at Missouri have been looking at is a process where at the watershed level we're trying to use high resolution elevation data to kind of remap those surgical soil pixels, if you will, with a little bit more description around topography. And so LIDAR information was combined with NRCS surgical soils information, and the process of soil digital mapping was used to basically create what we're calling an environmental response unit. It's another term for management zone. The opportunity to characterize the fields and break them down into spatially variable yield levels in the field. Okay? So I'm just going to show you a slide now, moving close to my time here, of an example field. I think, Andy, you showed this yesterday in your presentation, but this kind of gives you sort of illustrates for you what this process does. So up on the bottom right there is a field that's the surgical map units. In the upper quadrant up there is that field now remapped using the LIDAR information, and that information can convert it into different digital terrain attributes like slope, curvature. There's about seven attributes that were used in the equation. And then, so now the surgical map units are remapped with some different resolution and different boundaries. And as you can see in that table there, there's some different allocations now in acres-wise between those different surgical map units. And hopefully that information tells us more about the productivity differences in those fields. So how do we validate whether that did us any good or not? So this is where we took and looked at the hypothesis was, did we make the yield variability in these fields less by remapping those map units using this new process? Because if you can consider a map unit or a valid management zone something that's more homogeneous, less variable, and so that's sort of the statistic we use to evaluate and validate this tool. So that, I'm going to show you the statistical equation that was used here. I don't know that it's worth spending a lot of time on. It's basically looking at how to adjust the data for the variability in, we're changing sizes of these pixels and map units now, so we got to adjust for that. And so that's what this equation basically does. So I'm going to quickly show you now an example of a field where we've looked at 450 some odd fields with yield data. And if you look at the field value, that should be 1, because we're comparing the variability of the field now. That's standardized to 1. And if we've got a smaller variability value, then we've basically reduced the variation now in that ERU unit relative to the field value. And the same can be said for the Surigo soils. If you use those, you're still doing a better job than looking at the whole field as a unit for applying a prescription. So that's kind of the example of what we've done here. Here's just another slide restating that information similar way. The average ratio for the Surigo unit was 0.81, a reduction of 19% compared to the field. And then for the ERU, we've got a ratio of 0.68, or a reduction in variability in those yield data points now of 32%. So, just quickly summarizing, because I see Brenda is ready to go to break here. Factors needed for prescriptions. We've talked about the agronomic database, the geospatial tools, some of the challenges that we're facing in building good prescriptions that provide value, and we're looking at using something like topography as a way to kind of help improve and better characterize the spatial variability in fields. So I guess I'll close with that since we're out of time. And thank you for your attention.